Hey Fates, thanks for listening to Chapter 4, Episode 4 of The Fate of Isen. This is the first part of another story in the world of Isen, this time highlighting a game that has been running for a few years now and that we've referenced several times in the podcast. This game has a big backstory and a long history, but here's a brief, and I mean brief, recap to get you up to speed. If you want a little bit more information, there's quite a bit more about this campaign and the characters involved in our wiki, isen.fandom.com. After rescuing the Prince of Palentia from bandits, a wizard named Kaidron Faust, a fighter named Rad Boomerang, a cleric named Sai, and a dragon-blooded sorcerer named Sasha Torchwood, were asked by a woman named Taryn to sail to the frozen southern continent of Magus. They were given a small glass orb that would aid them in finding a wielder who may be Isen's only hope against the cataclysmic power of the upcoming surge. In Magus's frozen canyons, they found an ancient ruined temple of Freylin, the god of dreams and fate. In the ruins, they found a sack containing a large purple crystal, which gave them strange, possibly prophetic, dreams. Beneath the canyons, they found a hidden city of dwarves, and Sai felt a powerful compulsion to stay with them and share the teachings of his faith. During an attack on the city from an army of undead, the heroes met an elf named Arathis Moonsword, aka Cloud, who had stowed away on an Arkvale ship and been left stranded and alone in the frozen canyons. Cloud decided to join the heroes on their quest to find the wielder. Along the way, they found a snow-buried structure resembling the head of a giant reptile roaring at the sky. Inside, they activated a strange ancient device that used holographic images to tell the story of dragons, huge creatures that disappeared many thousands of years ago, and explained Sasha's mysterious heritage. In the deep, deep south, they came across a jungle, and among the people living there was the wielder they sought, a young girl called Kaylani. They convinced Kaylani to travel back north with them, and along the way they were joined by a frost giant named Makariri, who had a powerful stone of his own that urged him to help them. The fate of the world could depend on this group of heroes getting Kaylani north in time for the surge.
Would all of thee, likest to introduce thyselves?
Sweet!
We'll start with my top left on my screen, which is Mr. Gerard Papu.
That's weird because you all know me. I'm Gerard. I'm playing the character Rad Boomerang. I'm a fighter. I named him after my idol, Brad Zimmerman, who I try to live my entire life in his image. And in keeping with that, I'm a very moral, very brave, quite sad, sort of character. He's always trying to do right, but always ends up in violent situations.
Cool. In my top right is Oliver Probert, not to be confused with Oliver Scripps.
Yep,
the
different
other Oliver.
Superior. Yeah, I'm the superior, but we won't get. So I'm Oliver. I'm playing Arathis Moonsword, or a Cloud, as he's known to the compatriots. Mostly a good person, prefers the company of animals and small creatures to actual people, elves, humans, or dwarves, but he likes the people that he finds himself with after being ripped from his homeworld and appearing somewhere else entirely.
Cool. And my bottom left is, on the screen, not just in life, is...
just arrange everyone you know into.
He's my bottom.
Craig Savage.
G'day, I'd be delighted to be Brad's bottom in real life, particularly the left. I play the character of Kaidron Faust, or Kaidron, I can never quite make up which way the pronunciation is. He is a human wizard who basically is a massive nerd who started off as a sort of travelling merchant, found a spell book, thought spells are cool, and is now sort of travelling around with these guys looking for new knowledge and slinging spells at things.
Cool. Basically. And the bottom right is someone who is known to the podcast listeners already, but this is a different character. Take it away, lady.
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 Did you forget her name?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just doesn't know who I am now because I've just confused the crap out of him. So, hi everybody, it's Jules back again playing a brand new character, Sasha Torchwood, who is a wood elf sorcerer with a dragon bloodline kind of background. Super freaky and awesome. Yep, that's who she is.
Cool. Yeah. So, this adventuring party is, do you remember where we were at, what we were doing?
Frost Giant!
Yeah. Frost Giant. There was some combat.
Frost Giant said that Stone tell me to find you, Stone tell me to help you.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys were being, pursued by a Frost Giant through the icy plains of Magus, and this sort of matched up with the fact that about four nights earlier, three out of four of you had a dream that you were in this sort of terrain with a frost giant and with Kaylani, and in the dream Cloud was holding the giant purple crystal that the three of you who were having the dream had previously touched a long time ago, and a column of butterflies flew at him and then formed a tower, and then he opened the door to the tower while the rest of you let off some kind of battle cry, leading you to believe maybe you were going to fight this frost giant. But instead, it introduced itself as Makariri, the frost giant, and told you all that he had a stone himself that told him to find you and help you. Then he helped you indeed against a giant ice golem that attacked you. And you are now in the immediate aftermath of fighting that ice golem. And Kaylani, while you weren't paying attention, went into the magical bag of holding that you've got, and she extracted this purple crystal and is now holding it.
That's right.
That seems bad.
Yeah.
And she's just sort of studying it, like just moving it around in her hands, like, is this what you guys were talking about?
Is the stone reacting in any way?
Hmm.
At a glance, I mean, you could roll like an arcana check or a religion check or something if you wanted to try and assess if something more than what you can see is going on.
That's a good thing.
Oh, I forgot to bring my dice.
That's great.
Nice.
I got 14. 21.
Yeah.
What did you get, Cloud?
13.
Okay, yeah. All of you rolled high enough to... You could sort of feel that something significant is happening, like maybe it's radiating of like a mild energy field. You can't quite pinpoint like what it is, like you can't see anything, but you can definitely feel that something is happening with that stone while she's holding it.
Given that we know she's been, you know, she can kind of not suck up magic but immediately learn any magic we see, is it anything to indicate it's related to that? Or I suppose we would assume that.
I mean, you'd probably make that assumption, seeing that. That wouldn't be an unfair assumption for you to make, based on what you've seen.
We'll ask her what she's feeling while she's playing with it.
She feels good, bro. Like, super good, I could tell. Mm, yeah, I feel that.
All over your body, I think.
Playing with it always makes it feel good.
Yeah.
Take it easy, bottom left.
Yeah. Yeah, just like to point out that she's, how old is she? Like
she's nine.
Nine. So
she so do you like ask her what?
Oh, look, I'm kind of been shamed out of it now. So
how does it feel while you're playing with it? I think was the question.
What's that?
I was just repeating it.
I'm gonna cast guidance on Kaylani in case she needs
a D4
to do something. Essentially, like in case she needs like arcane help with whatever she's trying to do with the stone.
Sex magic. Yeah.
It doesn't look like she's trying to do anything. She's just sort of assessing it. It's really big. Like in her hands, it's like a child holding like the head of a lion. So there's a huge crystal.
How heavy is it?
It doesn't
comparably the same size as us holding a lion's head, I think he's trying to say.
Yeah, it doesn't weigh all that much. But yeah, and she's just sort of turning it around, like looking at the edges and the angles and feeling it.
Yeah.
Like a child assessing a potential toy.
Is the bag there?
Yeah.
The bag is just on the ground.
I just pick it up and try to act like it's not that big a deal. I'm just like, hey, let's put this away. We need to get moving again.
She's like, what is this? You kept talking about it. Some kind of... you had a dream or something?
Oh, it's a very magical rock, but I'm sure...
And we found it with butterflies. Lots of butterflies.
Huh.
She's gonna want butterflies.
She's like, what? She's like, does it do anything?
Well, we don't really know. What do you reckon it does, Glani?
I don't know. It's just shiny. I've never seen anything like it in the village. I mean, there's the stones that Davis has in the chapel, but they're not like this.
Yeah, but they're a little like that, actually. They're kind of like that. They're half of the size of that.
And then Makariri actually leans down and holds out his diamond shard. His piece.
I'm like, it looks like that. The one that you have in the village.
His is a lot smaller. Out of context, sounds funny. you'd think. He holds it out and he just says something in giant language. Just,
I agree.
That sounds a lot like
Hattie.
Kaidron at the end of last one had cast tongues on the situation so he could understand the giant. I don't know if that's still going or not. Yeah,
how long does it last?
Fuck if I know.
Does speak with animals work with a giant?
No, it's not an animal.
Racist.
I don't remember. It was so
tongues
long ago.
They are.
Okay, then, because all you've done since you cast tongues is you brought down Liaman's tiny hut, then you were attacked by the ice golem, and then you're in the immediate aftermath. So you're still within that hour period, yeah. So to you, to your ears, Kaidron, you heard him say, your stone look like me stone, hear me stone. And he's just holding it out for you to have a look at. They look nothing alike. His is a diamond, and it's more of an elongated shape, whereas hers is just that, a huge purple... like a well-cut diamond you'd see on display in a museum or something.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Also, just so everybody knows, tongues means that he can understand all of us and we can all understand him too.
Oh, handy.
Cool.
Oh,
okay. Let's go. Let's go. It's better than mine.
Means Kaylani can understand him?
Yep.
Yep. And she just almost losing interest in the giant stone that she's holding. She sort of walks over to his and takes a really close look, almost putting her face against it, trying to
right.
really
While she's
assess
doing
it.
That, I try to subtly, you might take a chocolate bar off a child, just kind of just tuck it away in the bag of holding, but not with any force, just gently as possible.
Okay, roll a sleight of hand.
I roll a 19 plus 2, so it's 21.
Okay, hang on. Oh yeah, she gets a 6 to try and stop
you.
No,
just me.
And she doesn't at all. She's too wrapped up in assessing this other crystal in the giant's hand. So you can easily slip the dream crystal out of her grip.
Right. So I just make a mental note to kind of keep that bag of holding on me.
Yeah. You're normally the custodian of that anyway. So.
Cloud, I don't. So you're the only person in this group who hasn't touched that crystal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wink.
Have you seen it before now? I've talked about it. I don't know if you've seen it.
He sort of... Yeah, we showed him at the village.
We showed him.
Yeah.
Before we left the village.
Yeah, so this isn't new to you?
Well, he wasn't actually there. He wasn't actually there in the episode where we tried to make him hold it, remember?
Tried to make him hold it?
Yeah, Oliver himself wasn't actually playing in the episode where we talked about we should put it in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally blanking on that. That was so long ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have we still got the orb that color codes people?
The compass orb, yeah.
Yeah, I pull it out of my pocket if you ask that.
I've actually got one. You've got one and I've got one.
Have we looked at Makariri with it? Just in case he's a wielder or whatever?
Sure.
Or a dragon. Dragonkin.
Do we know where Marikiri got his stone from?
You haven't asked.
I suppose we'll ask him. Yeah, where did you get your stone from?
He says, this stone, me, family, many, many years. Me take, when stone tell me find you, me find you.
Did the stone talk to you before that?
Stone always talk to giant. Stone make giant family. Tribe was tribe. Now tribe family.
Wait. Did most of the people in your tribe die, or did they just get closer?
Warrior tribe. Defend brute wall. That giant job.
Huh.
Stone make warriors family.
Oh,
what's
nice.
A brute wall?
Did stone get you pregnant?
me expecting it stones.
That's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I think they can break it up now with sonar.
What's behind the wall?
Yeah.
Giant not know. Giant guard brute wall for many thousands years, say elders.
So probably nothing now.
This sounds really familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
How far away is your tribe?
Are you guys called the Watch as well?
Yeah.
Oh man, we're just roasting Brad.
I mean, take inspiration for what you know, Brad, but for Jesus' sake.
This is not what you think. And this is completely original, and it is not what you think. No, whatsoever. This has nothing to do with George R. R. Martin or any of his works.
I'm going to have to cut this out.
I don't know, have you read all of his work?
Yeah, apart from the recent sci-fi stuff.
Did you watch the episode of Robin Hood he did?
No, I didn't. maybe I took that from this.
I guess our group was kind of on the way to meet the ship, and the giant was kind of, I guess, going to help us get there. So are we? What do we want to do? Do we want to find out more about this brute wall and see what we do about that, or are we still planning to get the ship with Kalani?
Kalani is our main priority right now.
Yeah.
We're gonna clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Doing a
good job with that brute wall, so just keep up the good work, mate. You're a cracker. And we're going to shoot off.
Well, I mean, how old are you? That's what Sasha asks Makariri. Oh, what's your name? And how old are you?
Wait, what? Do we know his name?
No.
Yeah, you already know his name. You know his name.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Sasha wasn't paying attention.
when Kodron first cast tongues before we got attacked, he introduced himself. He says that he is 87 winters.
It's always winter here.
Yeah, but there's a difference. There's like bad winter and not so bad winter.
Mm.
Winter is coming, bro. Anyway.
Yeah, winter is coming.
It sure is. Shouldn't we get back on our path?
Yeah. Anyway, I want to... But the reason I'm asking is because I'm like trying not to speak in pigeon broken English, but I'm like... You know of Surge?
Says, elders speak of magic Surge. Much magic destroy world. Giant survive.
I point at Kalani. Oh, yeah. I point at Kalani with the stone in my hand, and I'm like, she wield Surge.
Yeah, it glows bright red when you point the compass orb at her. And his eyes go wide. He said, she magic hold.
Must protect. Must get her to where we go.
You see the sort of the cogs turning in his head, and he maybe puts two and two together as to why it was so important that he helped you.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm time. We go. You know, like I'm trying to be like, you come?
Stone.
I love it so far. He hasn't had a single problem translating us speaking in full sentences, but still we need to see the need to speak to him like he's a dude.
Yeah, I'm trying not to, but it's really hard to not want to reply in kind.
He can understand, and you can understand him. So.
Yeah.
It's about empathy, man.
She magic hold. She much important.
Yes, much important.
Yes.
She also is a bit of a dick.
Me stone say, you stone same.
That's terrifying.
Our stones never talked to us.
Yeah. I mean, maybe through dreams. Maybe the dream is from the stone.
That's interesting.
We need to compass all them. We don't know what color it is.
So what happens if we stick the compass orb facing at Makariri?
Okay, so maybe I accidentally do that when I'm gesturing.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
Just a dude.
I look at it, and it just glows green, and I'm like, sorry, it was me. Sorry.
Typical.
He doesn't know what the green means. It doesn't mean anything to him.
Yeah.
Okay, so Makariri, Kailani, we've got to keep moving. Makariri, will you come with us? We are protecting Kailani. That is what the stone wants, or seems to want. She's much important. Will you come with us?
He nods and says, yes, me help.
Do you know the quickest way to get where we're going through these mountains and hills?
Must get to the port.
Yeah, he explains to you, without me doing the dialogue, that he cannot venture into the fire caves, but he says if he could reach the shore by going over the top of the canyons, where you guys spent a few days. And he says that for him the quickest way to the shore, to the northern shoreline, is to go over the canyons.
Right. I wonder if we're better to go with him, guys, because the dwarven thing had the whole war thing going on, and taking Kailani down there might just, you know, probably the less people we see for now, maybe the better. Not necessarily guaranteed not to run into issues going over the top, but we've got a fucking ice giant with us, which
I mean, I'm sad about not going back to Dala's apple basket, but yes, I think you're right.
Also, you guys did leave your friends there. Sai, the cleric, who was originally in your party but then left to spread the teachings of Freylin to the dwarven people, and also Sheen, the thief, who helped get you there in the first place.
I hate both those characters.
Yeah. Forgot about them.
Oh, Sheen kind of lost her bottle about her.
Yeah, she freaked out.
She kind of lost her mind when she realized, like, that. Yeah, she suffered for a decade as a child for no good reason.
That's right. Oh, yeah,
she seems like she's in good hands there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they're good people. I mean, they just went through a very hard time a couple of days ago, but they're good people.
We don't necessarily want to pick her up as we go, do we?
I think.
Or do we? Do we want to get her back to the mainland?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm kind of, like, part of me is like,
I think she's a big enough girl, she could probably take care of it herself. Yeah.
Like, she was a guide there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like there's no way out of there.
Plus, it's warm in this pastry.
Sai was pretty keen to stay there. He made his own choice that he's kind of left the party and doing his thing. So going back and being like, hey.
Plus, who would play him?
Pardon?
Yeah. Plus, who would play him?
Exactly. Is that?
He would have been quite handy as a cleric of Freylin to ask about our dreams, but
yeah, he would have.
All right. Well, let's tell the giant that we're going to follow him over the cliffs. We don't freeze to death, but let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Should we also ask if he can have a signal for us? Because I imagine he's going to be able to spot trouble faster than we can.
So you can ask him that, and he would say, yeah, of course he will. I mean, he's like 25-ish feet tall, and he's used to this. He's used to this terrain, so like he can absolutely keep an eye out a lot better than you could.
Can he carry the five of us on his back? Just asking.
He could probably very easily carry the five of you on his back.
I could run
into a spider and just bury myself in his fur.
Sounds like you could turn into a bear.
If you guys got a plan, I'm all for it.
Is that an indignity for him? Is indignity a word that will make it through our language barrier?
No.
Like, if we impress upon him, so if we say, look, we need to get Kailani there fast, and you know the terrain and all that sort of thing.
Can you help us be faster?
Yeah, exactly. What would you think about just getting us all a piggyback for the next couple hundred miles or whatever it is?
Maybe we should sweeten the deal and throw something in that we can help with for him.
Such as?
Yeah. I mean, I'm made of fire. I basically promise not to touch him, essentially.
Yeah. Well, you could almost you could actually levitate and fly Sasha, so he doesn't actually have to carry you necessarily.
Not for long.
Oh, yeah, true. So what would he say if that, if we're kind of like, look, this is about helping Kaylani, not because we just can't be fucked walking?
Roll a persuasion check with advantage.
Who's got good persuasion?
I got a nat 20.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, he says, she magic hold. She important, you important. Me help, however me can help.
Sweet. Kneel down, bro, we're climbing aboard.
Take a knee!
Yeah.
All right, bottom left.
I reckon that.
I'm going to turn into a direwolf and wander alongside. Because I've got keen hearing and smell as a direwolf, and they're white, so I blend in.
Okay, fair call. Kadron,
What's your speed as a direwolf compared to the frost giant's speed? That's what I want to know.
I've got 50 feet.
Hang on. I just closed the frost giant stats.
And I can look it up.
That's all right. I can bring it up again.
Kadron will start making a little sling out of his 50 foot of rope that he can kind of like chuck over his shoulder so he can sit in, because I'm thinking maybe Kaylani can jump up on the shoulder or something like that, so she's kind of up higher and as much protected as possible.
Yeah.
There's maybe Rad and Kadron, and I'm not sure where, Sasha, you're going to detach yourself, but maybe we should be in a position that we can jump down and combat some shit if needs be.
Does he feel, like, pain from piercing?
Oh, yeah.
You're just going to jam with claws, aren't you?
Yeah, I was just going to stick my claws in and just...
just right to his thigh, eh?
Like an angry kitten.
He has no like resistances or immunities to piercing.
Okay, so I won't do that then. I'll just hang on.
Okay.
Cutely round his neck like I'm hugging him.
You go up on one shoulder. Actually, Asha, given that you've kind of taken Kaylani under your wing, maybe she should be on one shoulder and you on the other, so you can kind of keep an eye on her and talk with her and stuff.
That makes sense. Make sure she doesn't start flying again.
And Rad, should you and I be on like kind of one hip each, like little huge babies?
Yeah, that's the only thing that I was imagining.
Yes. Sweet, this is perfect.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Reminds me of like Princess Bride when the dude's like lifting them all up.
Andre the Giant. Yep.
That's it.
He's loved just it. Like hauling them. Yep.
He only have to carry himself. I have the weight of three men. That's us, and we're off.
Okay. Yeah. So you continue in this configuration of giant piggybacking. After some time, the tongue spell runs out, so like any talk you did have before, suddenly all you can hear in response is giant language.
I'd probably recast it because I've got a couple of spell slots, actually one more, and it's probably important to be able to speak to him.
Okay.
I've got first level comprehend languages too, dude, so I can it's not quite the same as being able to understand him, but I can understand the literal meaning. Not necessarily word for word, but yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if we're just traveling and there's not a lot of conversation, maybe Kadron.
I'd say hold it. I'd say hold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when a giantish is going to indicate that we're going to have a conversation, so cast it then.
Yeah. Get it. I'd say. So. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because I can't respond with comprehend languages. I can only understand, but.
Right.
Yeah, if we need to, we have that.
And let's also assume that as we get going, Kadron kind of explains that we can communicate through magic and it won't last forever, so he'll know that that's happening. So, that's cool. So we won't recast it just yet.
Cool, go.
Cool. Yeah, so you just continue. He just big step, big step, big step, big step. Just a right. Big giant walking through an icy, snowy landscape.
You know that circle that was around us before? Can I tell if anything like that is still with us or somewhere while I'm up there?
How far have you gone up, and what did you turn into?
I didn't turn into anything.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, sorry. No, sorry. I was thinking of Cloud in his animal shape.
I'm just sitting on the giant's shoulders, so I was thinking, I wondered if it helped perception checks or whatever.
Yeah. No. No, you can't tell.
Okay.
You can't tell like what you saw when you flew up high last time and noticed that there was a huge like circle of no wildlife coming anywhere near you for miles. Like you can't tell that from just sitting on the giant shoulder.
Okay, cool.
As a direwolf, I have like really strong sense of smell. As a random thing, can I see if the stone that the giant holds gives off any particular smell that would be trackable? That kind of magic. Or is that
that's
a stone?
it's a stone, but if you nat 20, I will give the, okay. I'll give this to you.
Never mind. I came really close with a 19, but no.
It's a natural 7.
two and a 9. All right, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah. So you start to notice that the terrain starts to slope upward a little bit more, and you remember that. That's kind of what it was like when you were close to the entrance to the fire cave. So you imagine that you're probably not that far from the fire cave / canyons. But then he stops, as if like coming to attention.
Okay. So Codron will cast Tongues and ask him, why have you stopped?
He needs to take a lick.
Yeah. No, I've just wasted my only other spot.
Me knee drain frozen lizard.
Wait, is he Australian?
Oh, I should have called it draining the blizzard. Damn, there'll be other opportunities for sweet puns. So, yeah, before you ask him that, Cloud, can I get you, as your direwolf, to roll a perception check with advantage?
Sure can. That is 19.
Okay. You can smell dwarves nearby and something else.
Okay.
Like a creature or some kind, or something big, or maybe lots of something small. There's okay. Something, and there's dwarves.
Can't communicate as a wolf. I'm going to try and move towards what I smell, see if I can at least see it.
Do that thing.
Know what it is.
Do that thing where the dog lets their tail go straight and they point with their foot and they point with their nose at the same time. If you do that, it'll be pretty obvious,
right?
I'll
try my best to just like convey it in growls and barks.
Oh, it's boring.
Like, I think Jules is saying like in like a cartoon when like a bloodhound turns into a trapezoid.
Oh no, I've seen that Disney movie before. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll bite onto like someone's leg and like pull them in the direction of where I think it is.
Bite their leg off and they bleed to death, yeah. And you eat their corpse.
Hey, dwarves got a wolves got
dwarves.
No, it's not like.
Are you moving towards the dwarf smell or the other thing smell?
The other thing smell.
Oh, they're not in the same direction?
No, the dwarves are sort of like directly north. And then the other thing smell sort of kind of east, kind of also south, kind of west, like you're being surrounded.
Okay, question from a rules point of view, DM.
Yes.
If I cast message, because it says point your finger towards a creature within range and whisper a message, the target hears the message and can reply. Can I whisper at Cadron while he's in direwolf form and him reply?
At Cloud?
At Cloud, not Cadron. Heightest bastard, sorry.
I would say yes, because he still has his consciousness.
Cool, so I message and go, what's up?
We're surrounded.
Not good.
By something.
And what?
Don't know, I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay, and I repeat that.
I haven't seen before.
I repeat that out loud to everybody.
Yeah, so you said you walk towards whatever it is. Do you go east, south, or west?
East, slowly and stealthily.
Cool. Roll me stealth.
Okay. No whammies. 12.
Okay. You're kind of stealthy. But so what colour is your fur as a direwolf?
White, I would imagine.
You've got no white. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, so you blend in with the snow quite well, but you know, you're leaving footprints, you're making a bit of like warm breath puffs come
can
out.
Can I cast pass without a trace on myself? I can never remember in wild shape form.
I thought you couldn't cast spells once you were wild shaped. Yeah.
It's
because of somatic.
Anyway, my wild shape probably doesn't have that much time left. I'm going to drop wild shape, cast pass without a trace on everyone.
Okay.
And then try and figure it out. That gives you plus 10 to stealth. And I will.
Okay. Roll stealth again.
14.
Yep. So that's with a plus 10.
Yeah, I rolled a 2.
How far away are you right now?
I'm not going far. I'm just trying to see if I can get visual.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure you stay within 120 foot because I can message you then.
Cool.
I mean, if we're talking that close, we are like perched around a 25 foot tall giant. So if something's only a few hundred feet away, it's going to see a giant.
Yeah. If you go to that sort of perimeter, you don't actually see anything. You just see the icy white landscape as usual.
Okay. I'll ask the giant if he senses anything.
He's not under the tongue spell.
We haven't cast it yet.
I mean, he obviously sensed something. Like, he stopped.
Yeah. So, I think...
But he's just kind of looking around nervously.
Jump down and just get ready.
Yeah, so the giant is just sort of looking around as if, like, he feels there's something. Maybe it's the dwarves, maybe it's something else, but he doesn't know what. He's just sort of, like, assessing his surroundings.
The disturbance in the force.
Yeah.
Quadron's going to cast Mage Armor on himself because that's what he does.
Okay.
Yep.
And jump down.
Sasha casts Mage Armor on Kalani.
I cast Guidance on everyone.
Man.
Okay, who is still riding on...
Me and Kalani are still up on the shoulders, which is why I just tapped Kalani on the shoulder to cast Mage Armor.
No, I'm still on him.
So Kalani's base AC is 13 plus dex now.
Okay. So, yeah, Makariri sort of, like, he sort of rolls his shoulders as if to gently suggest that he's trying to get you off him.
I figure that out and climb down and tell Kalani to climb down.
Yeah, so you, like, slide down his back and do the sweet move down the back of his knees like Fred Flintstone quitting work on the Brontosaurus neck.
Nez.
Yeah, and he pulls the giant double-headed axe off of his back and takes like a defensive pose.
Rad's still like cuddling up. When
no, I jump off and I pull out a sword. Yeah. I feel like some shit's going down.
Quadron
has his crossbow out, but also his casting hand ready.
Everybody, roll perception.
Ooh.
That's all right. 17.
19.
23.
Jesus.
That rolled real well.
Yeah.
20.
Okay, well, yeah, everyone, including Nakarini, you all got rolled over a 15. So you all turn and in different directions, you see coming out of the snow in like thousands upon thousands of ice mephits, like what you were ambushed by a few nights ago or the night before. That was 40 odd, I think. So this is a whole army and even a few dozen ice golems as well, this huge, like, basically giants made of ice.
A few dozen
of those and a few thousand ice mephits. All sort of stuff. They are at like maybe 500-600 feet, but then they close in as if they are coming closer and closer and closer. But they're the same color as the landscape, so they're sort of blending in.
And they're surrounding.
You can see the move
north where the dwarves
It looks like all directions but north.
Okay. Guys, should we try and retreat to the north to get closer to the dwarves who maybe won't try and fuck us up?
I'm into it. There's thousands of these fuckers, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I've got one fireball, so if they get close, that technically could do a fair bit of damage, but it's not going to do fuck all against dozens of ice golems, so a straight up fight is not going to be ideal.
Yeah.
Even with Macarelli.
Yeah.
Can you fly Kalani out here?
Kalani can actually fly herself because she learned it off me.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's also a Morian, so.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I was.
She's an
thinking
the methods fly too, so.
I was thinking that myself.
Makariri, he puts his axe into one hand and he holds out his stone in the other, and he turns to you and sort of like desperately like shoves it in your faces like he's trying to tell you something about the stone.
Okay.
You're like, he's like shoving it to one of you and then another of you like this. It's like,
okay, Kaidron will take the stone.
He doesn't let you have it. He's just trying to tell you something about stones.
Yeah, I message him straight away. I use message and I say, what is it?
Can he respond not knowing your language?
I don't know. I imagine it's probably only the language that they can speak actually. That's probably a good point.
It doesn't actually say.
No, it doesn't.
Just a water creature within range. And just, there are things that stop it, like a foot of stone or magical
but
silence.
It doesn't say that it changes the language, so that probably doesn't actually work. So just ignore me.
I mean, you can just cast language.
I would personally rule no.
Yeah.
Thinking
okay,
about
so,
it.
Look, Kaidron will cast tongues, so he's trying to hold that spell because he's got no other. Can't cast fireball, but this is important, so he'll cast tongues to communicate with Makariri and say, what is it, my friend?
Yeah. So he was at that point that you cast the spell and he could now understand you. He was sort of shoving his crystal in Rad's face. And then he sort of turns back to you, Kaidron, and he says, me stone say need you stone now.
Okay, sweet.
Right.
Rad,
pull it
grab
out.
Grab the stone.
We got it out. I'm holding it up to the stone and we're gently rubbing.
And then he sort of
Captain Planet of Stones.
And I'm like, sort of, and I go, pray to be Freylin that this works.
Yeah, oh, what a
you've got he stops and stands upright and just sort of stands still as if entranced by something. He's just standing there holding the stone.
The stone, or are the stones, you know, in communion now, or what's the scenario with the stones?
He's just standing there holding his one in his hand like he has lots of times.
And Red, you're holding our stone, touching his stone?
Yeah, as close as possible, but he's like a real big dude, so if he moves a little bit, we're no longer close.
You're like jumping around underneath with our stone.
Yeah, yeah.
At this rate of the people approaching, how much time do we have before they get to us?
Not.
You'd estimate maybe you've got like a minute. Like they're not racing in, but they are just like closing in, like you'd approach like a guaranteed kill. Just like, sure. I got this.
Go.
Bodes well for us.
And so he just stands there just dumbly just holding his stone for a while, and then he nods and says, here, and he just holds his stone out and gives it to just whoever's closest to him.
I grab it.
Right, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, Sasha, immediately it's not so much words, but there's a feeling of like you being influenced and told what you need to do, and you get this feeling of like these people with you are part of your family, and you feel like a connection to Makariri and to his fire giant people and to the people of the Lokri in the jungle. And the
Frost
and
giant.
To the people. Oh yeah, I said fire giant, didn't I?
Yeah, I was confused there for a second.
Yeah, I was writing something today about fire giants, and I got confused.
No, cool.
And yeah, you feel a connection to his people and to the jungle Lokri people and to the Hearthhome people, and you suddenly you get just this idea, like rushing into you of like all the connections you've made in your life and like the wider community that is a part of who you are. And then
question.
It all sort of, yes.
in that moment, can Sasha feel the original world that she was put in? The one that she was teleported out of?
Aha, yes. Let me tell you about that. You feel a rush of, it's all feelings and like flashes of pictures in your mind, and you see, yes, your old adventuring party from the world that you were just like brought out of,
ripped out of, forcibly. Yeah.
But you also see all the connections you made in your life in that world, and going back to like the orphanage you were raised in and things like that. And you also see and feel, briefly, an elf man and an elf woman looking over you as you're a baby.
Oh.
So you feel the connection of the parents that you had.
Holy shit. That's like a serious moment for Sasha.
Yeah, so all of that rushes into you all at once as just this compound feeling in like a second. But then it all points at Cloud. And it tells you Cloud needs...
Cloud's father.
It says Cloud needs the stone.
Yeah, with the power of that moment running through her, she would probably just rush to Cloud and put it in his hands and close both of his hands over it. Not really even explain. Just like,
yeah,
you have to hold this, you know?
Does he have hands? Isn't he still a doggy?
I turned back.
No, no, he dropped it. So I just, I don't say anything, Cloud. I just run up to you, grab your hands and press the stone into your hands and just look at you.
Well, Cloud was just preparing to cast Cool Lightning, so his hands would have been up in like an arcane kind of thing. So, yeah, what happens? I bizarrely just start holding the stone and look at you confused.
I was casting lightning. I didn't think I'd cast stone in hand. Just the stone just appears.
It's like, ruined this amazing moment for Sasha with a stupid pun.
Because I'm waiting for you to feel it. You know, like, I don't want to ruin it. Because I don't know if you're going to feel the same connections that I felt, but I don't want to ruin it for you, so I'm just holding it, remembering how that felt. Like,
look at the stone, look at Sasha, glance back at the hordes of things coming towards us.
Yeah, so, yeah, in that moment that you touch the stone, you have the same thing, that same feeling rushing at you of family and all the connections that you've made, and you see... And of course, Makariri, Frost Giant, and you also see his Frost Giant family that you haven't even met, but like you feel the connection, as well as the jungle people and all the connections, including the bride that you almost married in the world that you were in before you got forcibly brought to Iceton as well, and the adventuring party that you had when you arrived and things like that. That all rushes to you, and then the stone just tells you everything depends on you and the dreamer, and then it's all that all just rushes. That's just one feeling in a second.
Doesn't explain what the dreamer is. So,
Cloud starts to cry, seeing his wife in his mind.
Sasha starts to cry in response to him crying because she's still holding your hands, thinking about her parents that she felt like.
Red goes like this.
Kydron's expecting that we're about to have a massive battle, so he might try and cast Enlarge on Makariri to make him a fucking super giant.
I love it. I don't even care if that is how the spell works. That happens.
You're not really a diversify your portfolio kind of guy, hey?
I think also in a bit of fury at seeing his wife, Cloud will cast Cool Lightning.
What, right with me in front of him?
No, like over top of where some of these things are coming towards us, just angrily call Clouds to rain lightning down upon people.
Right, who's got the rock?
Okay, you describe the way your Cool Lightning spell works.
Well, essentially, if there's already a storm in range, I take control of that storm. Otherwise, my eyes just go stark white, the same color as my hair, like Storm and X-Men, and I just call and summon the powers of nature to aid me. And then it's a 60-foot radius centered on a point. All hell breaks loose in a lightning storm.
Yep. So these things are that close to us now?
So what was that range, sorry?
The range is 120 feet.
120, yeah. I'd say they're still outside of that range. Like I said, they're closing in quite slowly.
Okay.
But you could certainly create like a very intimidating...
I keep it going, so yeah, I can just cast it over there and have it going toward them. all of the moss coming closer.
Okay,
whilst
cool. So,
still crying.
Yeah, Rad is still just standing there holding the purple crystal, and Kaylani is just in the middle of this, like, looking around, just dumbstruck. She's like we're surrounded. There's, you guys are crying. That guy's holding the purple thing. What the hell is going on?
There's now a 50-foot-tall giant there.
Yeah, the giant just doubled in size. This is insane. Yeah.
But I'm like, didn't you feel it? Like, as I'm crying and I'm trying to, yeah.
She's like, feel what? I don't feel anything. But she starts crackling some lightning in her hand, though.
Give it a stone. Wait, yeah. Did she have the stone?
You've got the purple stone.
Yeah, give it the other one, the Make Your Friend Cry stone.
Do you say that?
Yeah. Who's got it? Have you still got it?
I still got it.
You used both your hands to lightning, didn't you?
I can do it with one hand. I'll hand the stone back to Sasha. I think she's got a better attunement to it than I do.
I feel like we're all taking a hit off of the stone.
Yeah,
but
so
that doesn't make any sense. The stone literally told you it all depends on you and the dreamer, and you went, this doesn't really talk to me.
Lightning!
Yeah, Sasha. No, I saw what it wanted to tell me. Yeah, Sasha gets, trying to keep these things at bay.
Sasha gets the stone back in her hand, and she's still got that feeling of connection, like that didn't go away.
Yeah.
The pinkish stone that Rad's holding. Gotta give him that one.
Give who that one?
Wait, what?
Cloud.
Okay.
What's Cloud on that one? Oh, just
is that stone we all saw in a dream?
Are we just gonna try all the stones on Cloud?
Pretty much.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah, Rad walks over to Cloud and says, take a hit off of this.
Fondle.
Yeah. Hand it to him.
Okay, so that takes two hands to hold it, so do you drop your lightning spell?
It's verbal and somatic to conjure it, but I don't know if I have to keep the hands going to keep it going, because it runs as long as I can keep it up, which is 10 minutes.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so you take the giant purple crystal in your hands, and as soon as it is in, like, it's safely in your hands, it was already like a nice purplish amethyst type of color before. Yeah. It glows a very bright purplish pink, like a neon colored pink.
Okay.
Which the others haven't seen it do that before. And then suddenly everything goes really dark, like it suddenly becomes nighttime out of nowhere, even though it's like the middle of the afternoon. Your lightning is like flashing brightness into the sky, into the night sky. But other than that, everything's dark. Like, you can't see the snow things, the ice things, or anything. But then coming toward you from the north is something blue and yellow and purple and, like, very bright and colourful.
I glance around at everyone else to make sure that they're seeing the same things that I'm seeing. Do they look confused?
I'm still standing right in front of you, like tears still on my cheeks.
She still wants to hold hands and shit.
Kydron's probably still shitting it about all these things coming, so he'd be probably trying to get Kaylani to enlarge Rad as well.
Do you know what to do? Do you know what to do? The stone told me to give it to you.
Yeah, to the rest of you, you did not see it turn to night. It's still daylight to you.
So I'm asking Sasha, I'm saying, do you see the black sky?
No, I don't. No. Do you know what to do?
I'm going to ask the stone what it wants.
I'm pulling my sword out.
Yeah.
So the rest of you are like preparing to battle these things that are getting closer.
Yeah.
Can Kydron get Kaylani to cast Enlarge on Rad? So we have some more.
I'm asking Cloud, what did it say? What did it say?
Hang on, Kaylani says, I could try. That looks like fun. And let me just try and roll for her. Oh, she does not. She puts her hands on Rad and it goes like, enlarge! And nothing happens. Rad feels like a tingle go through his body, but that's it.
I'm still asking Cloud, what did it say?
It said nothing, but the sky
What did the other stone say? What did the other stone say? It told me to give it to you.
It said it rested upon me, and I had to find the dreamer. The dreamer, I don't. It could be, but
it's a butterfly.
Do they mean Fraylin? Do they mean the? Because I'm like urgently yelling at him because I'm aware that there's like people behind us, and I'm trying to get him to figure out what the fuck the message is. I'm like, do they mean Fraylin? Fraylin, the dreamer. You know, the dream goddess.
I start walking towards the blue yellow light that I saw to see if I can see it any clearer.
As you focus on it, and you start like. You take a few steps in its direction, you notice that it is getting closer to you at a very, very fast rate.
Okay. I cast Speak with Animals on myself, just in case it's an animal. Okay. And I cast Bark Skin on myself as well, in case it's an enemy.
Yep, so it is plowing towards you like hundreds of miles an hour. It is like a highway of whatever it is.
I will then use my last first level spell slot to try and cast Fairy Fire on it.
Okay.
Yeah, as so it lights up and I can see it better.
Yeah, as it gets closer, you see that it is, in fact, it is a huge, like, thick column of millions of blue and purple and yellow butterflies.
Okay. I turn to Sasha and say, the butterflies is a swarm.
Fraylin, the butterflies, Fraylin! And she's just yelling at him because she's very conscious of the shit behind her.
Yeah, the others can't see it. It's still daylight, and they are still just.
I'm focusing. I'm just looking at Cloud. Cloud is just like looking at me, asking me shit. I'm just looking at Cloud, trying to go figure this out, bitch.
I start running towards the butterflies.
Yep. So they basically reach you, and it looks as if they're going to plow into you, but instead they hit an invisible wall and shoot upwards. Then they start spiraling around and around and around into like a very, very tall cylinder, like launching up into the sky like a tower.
It's pretty familiar.
Yeah, which so the others...
We can't see this still, though. Yeah.
The others saw that in a dream, and they can't see that now.
So we did tell him about the dream, so he knows that he went inside the tower.
How much detail did you tell him about the dream?
Everything.
Oh, so you described the whole dream full. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In that case, yeah, Cloud, you will remember that this is what the others dreamed about.
Right. Does my Speak with Animals spell, if I ask the butterflies, what is the purpose, why are you here? Does that do anything?
Yeah, you can ask that. I mean, they are animals. And you get a response of thousands upon thousands of tiny voices all just saying,
only you can open the door.
Right.
And that, okay. Yeah, you just hear that over and over and over again as they spin and spin and spin past you. You see the door, only you can open the door. The door, only you can open the door.
Should I open the fucking door, bro?
Yeah, I'm going to try and see if I can use one of the stones to try and open. I have a stone in each hand and try and use them to open a portal or a rift or some kind of...
It's too heavy. Can you see a door?
No.
Yeah, so you're still holding the purple crystal, and it's sort of throbbing, glowing, like on and off. And the butterflies, you notice that their number starts to dwindle, like it went, like it's halved, and then halved again, and then halved again, and then halved again, until they're not there anymore. But you can still see sort of the shape of the outline of the cylinder that they were making,
okay.
as if they made something that's now there.
Turn the stone! Turn the stone like a doorknob!
That's what I'm doing, yeah.
Okay.
I try and use it to open a rift.
Yep, so a portal on the front of this invisible cylinder opens up, and you see inside, like a pretty standard inside a castle, like stone circular tower. With a stairway, a spiral staircase that just goes up and up and up and up and up and up and up. Beyond what you can see.
I run inside and start climbing.
They rode the frost giant Makariri. Cloud used the dream heart to attract a horde of butterflies who then transformed into an invisible tower. What's going to happen when the frozen army gets closer? Find out on the next exciting episode of the Fader Weissen. What a nerd. A huge thank you to our Patreon supporters, Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyser, Sajaya Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm, Kydron Faust, Lauren Flake, Kai Dearlove, and Rihanna Kavelsik. You are the wind beneath our wings. You are the wind in the sky. You are the wind whistling through a tunnel. I think what I'm trying to say is you are the wind. So keep that up. That's pretty sweet. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are all at FateOfIson. Or email FateOfIson@gmail.com if you've got something to say. Or head to the Necropodicon Network Discord server to chat with us in real time. There's a link on our website, FateOfIson.com. So head along there and typey-typey, chatty-chatty. Say hey. We'll say hey. And then you'll be like, what's up? And we'll be like, nothing. What's up with you, homie? And that's kind of how conversation works. All right. I'm blathering now. See you later, everybody. Thanks for listening. Finger guns.
Do you like creativity?
Do you like bad creativity?
Then have we got a podcast for you. I'm Emily Holman.
I'm Erica Scott.
And Grow Out of It is a podcast about laughing at, learning from, and loving our creative childhood selves. Join us as we read and review the embarrassing fiction we wrote in our youth and totally make fun of how bad it is. We've got warrior cats.
We've got vampires.
We've got assassins.
We've got shitty romances. If you want cringy stories, check out Grow Out of It on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Part of the Necropodicon Network.